The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin right over there, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine.
That didn't sound sincere.
Yeah.
What's going on with
you? Okay. Sports suck.
Oh, what sport? Golf, specifically?
Thunder, golf.
Oh, yeah. Kelly's not having a day.
All of it.
I was on the Nuggets, plus the points.
Me too, but
yeah.
Whoop-de-doo, Basil.
Because you're Thunder, you have big Thunder futures is what you're trying to convey to us.
Yeah. Nuggets first quarter, Nuggets plus 5.5. That was all fine and dandy. Yeah, sweet.
By the way, PGA Championship, what Kelly's referring to, Jonathan Vegas, who had the first round lead at 7-under. He has 1 over for the day through 3. He is still in the lead, though. 6-under par, 1-stroke lead over both Cam Davis and Tyrrell Hatton, not to mention Aaron Ray in there as well. Aaron Ray, pardon me. Ryan Gerard, also 1 shot back. He has not teed off yet. Max Homa, the story of the morning, though, who is 2 shots back along with Adam Scott, Colin Morikawa, and others. Max Homa shot a 30 on the back nine, which is his front nine for the day.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is 30 good? I'm told that's good.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
Being told in my ear that that's good.
An eagle on a part four is pretty good.
So who are your bets on? Your bets on the big names?
Yeah, let's see. I need Bryson to have a big morning. That would be nice. He is currently 1 under, I believe. Yeah, 1 under par for the day, for the tournament. Need him to pick it up. Rory had an absolute crap day yesterday. Justin Thomas out there this morning, too. I believe he's doing okay.
Scotty's only 4 back, 2 under after yesterday. Leader now at 6 under. He has yet to tee off today. I may have made a 15-1 play on Scotty to have a low round today.
Oh, nice. I don't hate that. I don't hate the outright price on him right now either. I think just the wrote it up. We're doing write-ups on VSiN.com after every round, so you can catch those after each round. Heading into the next one, we're off throwing out bets. I think Scheffler at over 3-1. I know it's shorter than what he was pre-tournament, Gil, but if you just look at where the leaderboard is and who's in front of him, it's a bunch of dudes that are not going to last. Sorry, Johnny Vegas, Cam Davis. I know Dave and Jensen have bets on him. I've bet Cam Davis a lot. He had like a historic putting ground yesterday. It's not gonna last. Jonathan Vegas, I don't think it's gonna last. Hatton and Aaron Rye, okay, legit players. Max Homa though, like he struggled. It's a bunch of garbage on this leaderboard.
Bunch of dudes that aren't gonna last, says Kelly.
Mud balls, Gil.
Kelly's doing a different show over here.
Just blaming the mud for yesterday.
Oh, Scotty was not happy about
the mud. No. It actually is pretty ridiculous.
Well, if you hit it in the middle of the fairway, you shouldn't have to deal with that.
Yeah, well, I don't even pick a side on this because it's blame. The blame goes all around for me. It's the PGA Tour has coddled these guys by letting them play lift clean in place basically every week that it rains on the PGA Tour. So the guys get used to playing that way. They don't get used to playing through these muddy ball conditions, and then they get stuck with it because it's a major. They don't want to change the rule.
All right. Only one tennis play today, but it's already started. Again, that's for VSiN subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport at VSiN.com/picks have the over 22 games in the Musetti Alcaraz match that's taking place that just started this morning. Carlos already up a break, though, I see, in set number one. To the NBA. By the way, on the show today, I should probably say this at the top. We always do, but we got into the golf talk. Steve Fezzik will join us hour number two for Fezzik Fridays. No Felica today because Felica is in Europe. He's on a European trip, a Felica family vacation once again. They're in Prague, Czechoslovakia. Czech Republic. Pardon me for not knowing my 2025 geography. Czech Republic. He's in Prague right now. Mike Somich will join us. He is not in Prague. He is here to talk Preakness with us. The second leg of the Triple Crown. Somich nailing the superfecta in the Derby. Nick Whalen, our buddy, co-host of Prop Points here at the network. We'll talk NBA and more with us. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And I guess we have some Are We Sure lag from yesterday.
Yeah.
We had a couple minutes on it yesterday.
Yeah.
What we didn't get to yesterday on Estamos Seguros. And there you go. All of that. But I'll tell you what Fezzik has. Fezzik has got plays in the NFL week one that he's made. He'll discuss his strategy there and a whole bunch more. We'll do that with Fezzik later. NBA, though, last night, as we just touched on moments ago. We are going to a Game 7 in the Nuggets-Thunder series. Kelly is not a happy man. Yesterday, Game 6, Nuggets staving off elimination. They led by 10, the Nuggets did, in the first quarter, 30-20. But a run by the Thunder to end that frame made it 31-28 Denver. And then OKC led by as many as 12. Do you even remember this part of the game?
Oh, yeah, I did. It was the turning point in the game.
58-46. OKC led this with 2:05 left in the second quarter. And then a Brown three made it 58-49. That's when SGA committed his fourth foul. That's
stupid.
Right, fourth foul in the second quarter. Didn't end up really affecting him, I don't think, though. And Brown bookended a 12-0 run, basically, at that point, right? We went from 58-46 to a 58-58 tie in a matter of moments. A Dort three gave the Thunder a three-point lead at the end of the half. Brown had 15, SGA had 14 to lead both teams. Third quarter, Denver scored the first six of the quarter to extend that run to 18-3. And most of that quarter, the third, was nip and tuck. No team led by more than three until 80-80 late. Nuggets go on a 10-0 run with Julian Strother scoring eight of them.
Yeah.
You see that coming?
No, Nuggets have been desperate for just someone else to step up and provide some scoring. Strother, the whole role player at home situation, right, Gil, comes up big in the moment. But yeah, end of second quarter, end of third quarter, just amazing for the Nuggets, brutal for the Thunder.
It was Ray Leonard stealing rounds from Marvin Hagler.
Yeah,
is what
yeah,
it was doing.
Yeah, great call, actually.
90-82, Denver at the end of three. Murray, who was sick all day, 22-5-7 at that point. Brown, 19-8-4, and Jokic, 18-13-6. In the fourth quarter, Denver just took him out. Led by as many as 16, 104-88. Then 109-93 with 3:54 to go. Then they messed around with their food a little bit, as the kids say. OKC did get it to within eight, but that was with 56 seconds left to go. Denver hangs on for a 119-107 win. SGA 32 in defeat. Jokic finishes 29-14-8. Murray 25-8-7, and Brown 23-11-5. Strother with 15 off the bench. And Denver forces Game 7 in OKC on Sunday, where it is the old sphincter tightener there for you, Kelly.
Yeah.
Apologies for that one.
I bet Thunder on the Nuggets on the open, 8.5.
Does the winner of Game 7 win the NBA championship?
Yeah, we said that yesterday, or what, 2 days ago, that we thought yes. The one thing I was thinking about after we had that discussion, I'll still go with yes, but Nuggets have not matched up well with the Timberwolves in the past. So
you never know.
You never know.
Styles make fights, Kelly Bidlin.
Styles make fights.
OKC, a 7.5-point favorite, installed as a 7.5-point favorite. Game 7 on Sunday for the right to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Total is 212.5.
Yeah, I at this number, I like the Nuggets. I bet at 8.5 at Boyd on the opener. I was shocked to see it this high. I thought it would come back in a little bit more with it being a Game 7, seeing how the Denver looked in Game 6. I'll be surprised if we close at this number, Gil. I think this gets shorter. I think it's Nuggets plus 7, 6.5, something like that.
Okay, that's on Sunday. Tonight, though, of course, we have a Game 6 still to determine who's going to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is the Knicks at MSG. By the way, you have the Subway Series going on cross town tonight as well.
What a huge night in New York.
What
right?
A night in New York. Madison Square Garden is going to be just a madhouse tonight for Game 6. The Knicks try to close out the Celtics. This is their second crack at this now. This time at home. It'll be the only time they get to try it at home. 2.5-point favorites are the Knicks. Totals 210. Again, the Tatumless Celtics here on the road. Any play tonight, you have to make a play in the contest, right? You have mandatory plays coming.
Yeah, I did punch the Knicks in for the contest.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in the contest. I didn't bet it. Kind of wishing I would have waited now, because I probably would have. I think I like the Nuggets in Game 7. Remember we had this conversation yesterday,
right?
Would you rather play Nuggets in Game 6 or this?
And I made my choice and I played the Nuggets.
Did you yesterday?
Yep.
Okay, good call.
Yep.
I should have done the same, because I bet that. I ended up betting that. I haven't bet this Knicks side yet. I don't know if I'm going to or not. But I did play it in the contest, and I kind of wish I didn't punch it in the contest, because I think I'd rather have the Nuggets plus the points in Game 7.
Yeah, we show those. We'll show these with Stevie Fezzik a little later on. But our VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge, which is now totally at the business end of the second round. We have to give equal time to Fezzik later today, because he and Zach Cohen tied for the lead. Co-leaders, 19-11 through two rounds. 19-11, remember, it's only ATS. Only sides full game or totals full game. That's it. Can't bet anything else. No halves, no anything.
Which has been kind of funny and irritating the past like 4 or 5 days because my NBA betting has picked back up. It's been going pretty well.
It's been fantastic.
But you played a lot of team totals and first halves and first quarters.
Well, I hope you're betting all your contest plays. I know I am. Here is the Doug Kazarian, by the way, in third place, 17-12. And then Young Gill in fourth, Kelly in fifth. Look at us. We are the sneaky, freaky brothers sneaking in from the rear. That's what we are.
Noops there still.
Fezzik and I were walking off the tennis court yesterday, and Fezzik says to me, he goes, oh, Zach caught me. I go, Stevie, we're all catching you. Don't get it twisted.
We got throw up the second round one, fellas. That's the that's the real standings right there. Look at that. Mr. Gil Alexander, number two.
Zach and I. If I could only put my finger on what might that might be about right there. Stevie, though, in third. Here's the thing. Again, I'll say this to Steve's face later. I said it to Zach yesterday when he was on with us. Stevie's superpower is he's great at contests, right? He's great at game theory. He's great at getting the best of it. He knows what he's doing technically. Doesn't know a damn thing about basketball. And that's why I said when we first started this and he was on, I said, Carl Sack put us both in here just to pollute the whole thing. And we're polluting it.
But that's what makes these types of things fun, right?
It's so
like,
much fun.
Absolutely.
So much fun. Yeah.
Like, Fezzik might not be known as the biggest NBA guy, but he's a huge contest guy.
Huge contest
guy. And it's what you said to Zach yesterday. Zach's a huge NBA guy.
That's
he's not much of a contest
guy. It's awesome. $3,000, by the way. I mentioned mine going behind the glass to all the people that make this show possible. Stevie corrected me yesterday. He said, mine are going to the room attendance at Circa specifically. If Stevie wins, room attendance at Circa. How about that? Kelly's.
I don't know what that means.
Confused. Coming back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Don't forget about VSiN.com all the while doing stuff. Greg Peterson's MLB picks are on there. Pimlico picks for the Preakness weekend. By the way, you notice that the 150th racing of the Preakness, Kelly, and it will be the last one before they raise the place and rebuild it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Adam Burke on Circus Survivor Conundrum. Oh, there's a conundrum in Circus Survivor? I didn't know that.
Good word.
Great word. Coming up today, Celtics Knicks best bets, Jonathan Davis's NHL props and picks, Steve Mackinnon's MLB analytics report, all that, VSiN.com. 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code PRO. Check it out at VSiN.com/subscribe. How about that? 14 months, only $199, promo code PRO.
How about heck that? Of a deal.
By the way, you've been following the old hockey last night, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Winnipeg stayed alive.
Yeah.
So our guy AJ Scholes, who was on earlier this week, I had asked him the question of all the 3-1 series, which is the team with the deficit that is the most likely to come back and win that respective series? And he said the Winnipeg Jets, which I was surprised by that answer. And the Caps did get bounced. The Knights did get bounced. And while Winnipeg has not gotten there so far, he was right about the fact that they're the only one to survive thus far anyway.
Still alive, yeah.
Yeah. We have three Canadian teams and three American teams left in this. Two of the Canadian teams down 3-2, including the, Toronto, I'm talking to you right now. Come on, let's go. Let's get this done.
It's so fun because I don't know how you are, but I kind of just naturally, as a not huge hockey guy, right? I kind of naturally want to root for the Canadian teams, but then it's also just comical when they lose and everybody gets so outraged over it.
You know who has I hope he's listening, Todd Wright, who's not feeling very well. I hope you're doing better, Todd.
No.
He has a very comical disdain for the Canadian teams.
I forgot about that.
He has it in for the Canadian teams. I'm not really exactly sure what Canada did to hurt him. But right now we do have while Winnipeg and Toronto both down 3-2 in their respective series, there still is that possibility that they get 3 of 4.
I also had a moment the other day where I was watching Carolina play and just realized that Andy McNeil has ruined the name of that team for me always. Cause I'm like, there's the Hurricanes.
Hurricanes.
There's the Hurricanes
Carolina
coming at you.
Hurricanes. Shout out to Andy McNeil, who's back on the rig out there, by the way.
It's wild.
On the refinery.
Yeah.
That dude, man.
Good for him, though. That's good money, right?
It is good money, but it's an interesting life because you go out into the middle of the ocean for months at a time, I believe.
Yeah, things I could not do.
You get very well compensated for, which is why people actually do the job, but you're out there without your family, right? For like, I think I want to say like 2-3 months at a time, and then you come back home. But it's, out there in the middle of the water.
I think I'd last 36 hours before I'm at like the side of a rail being like, someone get me out of here.
You and I would be concocting escape routes from the beginning. By the way, MLB, we want to update everything we're betting on these days. MLB most wins month of May. Only 6 games in Major League Baseball yesterday. One of them, though, did involve the Minnesota Twins. And these are really trolling me at this point.
Yeah, they are.
These are trolling me. 11-2. Can we not play the Orioles anymore, for God's sakes? Jesus. 11-2. Twins, again, I had the Mets raced at 10. They didn't win that. They won March, April. I had the Twins March, April. They didn't win that. Right now, they're leading May. We got the Padres. We're in fifth. Let's go. Padres tonight hosting the first of a 3-game set against the Seattle Mariners. Just keep on winning, Padres. Twins, Tigers, Cardinals, and Royals will start losing, I promise.
It's just incredible. How much you, I know it's not, it's no, I know we got some time to go here, and it's not like you're far back, but even how much better would you feel if the Twins were just not even on that graphic?
I still feel fine about it. The Twins aren't winning this.
Okay.
He says, hoping not to hate himself. No, I'm still, by the way, you can still bet these at DraftKings. Last I looked.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So
it's
good
awesome
on DraftKings for keeping these up during the month. And I think you can get the Padres at like 22-1 still. Because remember, they opened at 35-1 over there.
Which also allows you, like, I know you're going to make your bets and kind of stick to it. And, and you'll do some things with games, maybe, right?
I do
right?
One and I go, yeah.
Right, but like, you know, if not everybody wants to bet it like Gil, whatever. That gives you an opportunity to get involved and kind of hedge off and take different positions to set yourself up nicely down the stretch.
Show enough. So there we are. Padres right now in fifth. And again, at Circa, if you bet this at Circa, there are tiebreakers, fewest losses, run differential. That's why we list those on the screen. But at DraftKings, William Hill Caesars, it's all dead heat money. Which, by the way, I think the race to 10 in May ended up as a dead heat. Because Montesano had the Tigers, and he was like, oh, great, I get the dead heat with two other teams.
It's so much fun.
Dead heats are the worst. All right, yesterday we did our little segment, Are We Sure? But we gave it short shrift is what we did. Let us continue with Are We Sure? Estamos seguros.
All right, Gil, sure the Celtics cannot come back in this series against the Knicks and win it?
No, we're not sure. They could do it. I mean, you know, stranger things have happened. Again, what's the Bill Simmons Ewing theory? The Ewing, remember that theory from Bill Simmons back in the day when they lost Patrick Ewing for a period of time?
Fallen hero, yes.
Yeah, the folks here at the network call it the fallen star theory.
I've heard it called 17 different things, actually.
Well, again, the quantifiable thing about it is, again, it's like basketball there's an optimal efficiency to 5 guys on a court at all times. And again, if you have Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, and Wilt Chamberlain as your 5, you're not scoring 300 points.
Yeah.
It's just not how it works. So sometimes you can get a bit of an interesting bump if that combination works better without your star, at least in the short term. So no, we're not 100% sure, because would you be all that shocked if the Knicks couldn't get it done and the Celtics just shoot lights out tonight?
No. Yeah. You just hit it perfectly. We have not, first of all, I feel like I've been a bit bigger supporter of this Knicks squad than most. They have the talent. Like, that starting 5, they paid enough to have that talent together, that's for sure. It should be good. But we usually see a stinker game out of the Knicks where they haven't played great in all of these. Like, they've played par-level games and gotten away with some wins here. But we haven't really seen a complete stinker out of them yet, so that wouldn't shock me. And for everything that we want to hate on the Celtics when they do well, or when they blow big games in the 3-point shooting, that also helps keep you alive in games that maybe you shouldn't be in if you can shoot a high percentage. So I think you nailed it, Gil.
By the way, we get tweets. I just want to interrupt the Are We Sure? Because Bushyhead, that's what he says. That's what the name is on Twitter. It says, can you explain a dead heat? Yes. Yeah, so a dead heat is in any betting market. You'll see this in top 5s in golf, top 10s and whatever. But certainly this happens in the race to 10 in Major League Baseball or in the monthly wins. What books do is, unless they insert a tiebreaker like Circa did for most wins in the month of May, what it essentially does is it's a chop, but it's a chop based on math that is not in the bettor's favor. So it's not as simple as, three teams tied, and so you just chop it 3 ways. It has to do with the odds. And then it's not only the division of those, but then it often involves
division
the,
of your stake,
the subtraction of your stake sometimes as well. So what ends up happening is always a very, how can I put this, disappointing result. Even when you win, you're like, oh, that's all I got out of this kind of thing.
Even when you get used to it.
Yes,
even
it's the worst.
Even when it's happened to you multiple times and you still see one, you're like, what? What? Like, I almost go back and double check the math every time because I feel like I'm getting robbed still.
Because you feel like you're getting, that's right.
All right. Are we sure the Oklahoma City Thunder should be laying 7.5 points in game 7?
No, I think you just covered that, too. I mean, I had the Nuggets last night. Last I checked, Nikola Jokic still plays for the Nuggets. With apologies to SGA, I'll still call him the best player in the world. He might not be the MVP, but I think he is that. Absolutely not. They should. No way they should absolutely be 7.5 point dogs. They may win this game.
Yeah, the spread is pretty in line with what we've seen in this series. It's fairly in line for what we've seen in this series so far. But I thought this was going to open up lighter than where it did. All right, are we sure? Old John Vegas can hold on to the lead of the PGA championship.
No, we're not sure. I know you said that none of these guys are going to hang on, but I think you're in this case, I believe you're right. Jonathan Vegas, with apologies, Jonathan Vegas, he shot an opening round 64. Good for him yesterday. I mean, you're always going to be thrilled after that. But he's one over through four. He's only got a 1-stroke lead over 3 other guys and a 2-stroke lead over a mess of golfers, like a scrum of golfers. No, we're not sure he's going to hang on at all.
You know, shout out to Chris Felica because I'm sure he's listening in Europe. But still, Johnny Vegas, one of the great ball strikers on tour. Okay?
You like a ball striker.
But Gil Alexander putts as well as he does.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Have you seen me putt too?
No, yeah. I haven't seen Gil putt once.
What a sight to behold.
It's just much like Cam Davis as well. Cam Davis with a historic putting performance yesterday. All right, are we sure? The Dodgers should be only +250 to win the World Series.
Oh, no, they absolutely should not be, because there's something called the Major League Baseball playoffs. It's a crapshoot. What's the Billy Bean line again? My shiz doesn't work in the postseason. I mean, you can determine things over a 162-game sample size, but best of fives, best of sevens, anything can happen. So, no, they shouldn't be that short.
I really wish we had the licensing to run highlights, because that Ohtani at bat against, what was it, the catcher pitching last night?
Yeah.
that's probably going to be my favorite baseball highlight of the season.
Sending Jason Weingarten, Jason, I am not a Dodgers fan, Weingarten, into a aggressive text frenzy last night. There's no way he's not winning the MVP. I'm like, okay, relax. Relax, there is a way.
Well, speaking of Jason, but the catcher throwing it, then backing up when Ohtani goes to swing at it. Oh, God, that was the greatest thing ever.
Speaking of Jason, Under a Cloud of Smoke next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN at the Track is live tomorrow with everything you need to know about the Preakness Stakes. Join racing experts Mike Somich. It's today, by the way, not tomorrow. Today. Join racing experts Mike Somich, who nailed the superfecta in the Kentucky Derby. Have we mentioned that, by the way? And Aaron Halterman, as they break down the field, deliver expert analysis, and share their top picks. Don't miss it. VSiN at the Track, streaming live today, 2:10 p.m. Eastern, on the VSiN YouTube channel, at VSiN Live. We should change Michael's name to Mike Hit the Superfecta Somich.
I like that.
Since we say it all the time.
You confused me with who we were talking about, because I've never heard anybody call him Michael before.
Well, I just said Michael, so I just read it.
Oh,
Michael.
Very professional.
No, just Ron Burgundy threw it. we get tweets at Beat of the Book, Jack Olaquire. I'm with Kelly, just writing down Mike Somich numbers and then logging into ExpressBet. Giddy up. Because Somich comes on here, he throws out a bunch of numbers. We're like, what just happened?
Oh, Jack, don't worry. I'm gonna text Mike right now that I'm gonna need him to explain what I'm betting like a 3-year-old. Like you're explaining it to a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Where to start with that? Yeah. Brian Schaefer, Kelly, take the Nuggets +8 for the hedge. Try to hit both the Thunder series and Nuggets plus points.
Already did. Tried to do that last night too. One way worked.
One way worked. He'll do it again. Kevin Ryan, Gil, while trying to bet against the Rockies this morning, my offshore account no longer has a money line number. Check DraftKings, and they have Arizona -430. Looks like the trend is to just take them off the board on money lines. Wait a minute. What are you saying? That there's no plus price on the Rockies? Is that what you're suggesting? Let's check on that. By let's.
Wait, what am I checking?
You're checking to see if the, I was going to say, by let's check
it's
on
definitely
that.
Just
I
a
meant
book.
You, Kelly.
It's definitely just a book. Which game am I pulling up? I've got it right in front of
me. The Rockies game. He said, DraftKings, they don't have a money line on the Rockies. Is that true? That can't be true.
No, it's not true.
No, it's
not. Plus 320.
Hey, we just read the
But,
tweets.
You know, maybe state to state.
We're just fact-checking tweets is what we're doing. John Balducci.
They don't have a pitcher listed, though, currently. Does that maybe have something to do with it? Possibly?
I don't know if DraftKings does list pitchers on every game. Do they?
They do.
Okay. And you have to click something to toggle off. John Balducci. Tyrrell Hatton drives it in the drink, proceeds to call his driver on a hot mic a blanking piece of blank driver. Screw these tired the match events. Can we get Toasty versus Hatton with full audio?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I don't miss betting Tyrrell Hatton because it didn't work very well for me over the years, but I miss him on the PGA Tour so much. Again, it's small differences, Gil. But Jordan Spieth whining and complaining, and there's always something wrong. You know, it's maybe not all him. Tyrrell Hatton just gets furious. It's hit a bad shot, throw the club. He hit a shot onto the green yesterday with a wood and just launched it like 20 feet.
Yeah. Scotty Leisure Suit Kobe, I'm not going to read your tweet entirely, but I'm with you 100% Leisure Suit Kobe. I don't understand when folks have this disdain for Canadian hockey teams, and by extension, it sounds like the country of Canada. I love me some Canada. We love Canada.
I'm going to Montreal in July.
You are.
Can't wait.
You are.
Never been. I'm excited.
Whenever I go to Toronto, I'm like, this is the greatest city that we don't talk about enough. Lovely people, beautiful people, smart people, cosmopolitan. It's fantastic. I hope all the Canadian teams advance. How about that? How about that for
I'm a CFL nerd. We yeah, used to be. That's kind of unfair. I used to be Kelly Midland-Bidlin, too.
Not on
I
this show, Leisure Suit Kobe. We're all about it. Jason Weingarten joins us courtesy of a cloud of smoke and also courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. he joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia, by the way. Jason was hattening.
What's going on? I just texted Kelly my thoughts on Montreal.
Oh, very nice.
Take a look at that.
Okay. He's got thoughts on
yeah, I'm very aware. But yeah, thanks, Jason. Yep. Yep. I hear they got some good clubs there, too.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
He's got thoughts. Does it involve clouds of smoke by any chance? Anything like that?
Yeah.
Jason, I was just talking about you before the break, how when Ohtani went yard again yesterday, you were just like, he's winning the MVP, period. You really believe that? There's just no way he will not win the MVP this year? Come on. It's too early.
I mean, he could get hurt. The season could get, you know, canceled. There could be a natural disaster that prevents the season from finishing. There can be all sorts of, you know, an asteroid could hit the Earth potentially. But otherwise, how is he not winning? What am I missing here?
Well, what you're missing is that Freddie Freeman has better stats than him on his own team in almost every category. And that it's May.
And that, hold on. I don't know, man.
Hold on.
Ohtani has 15 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 45 runs scored, 25 walks. No other player in MLB history has ever put those players up through 42 games, and he's not even pitching yet. He's still going to come back and pitch in the second half, and he's plus money.
Anyway. I mean,
we got Aaron Judge in the NL. If I'm correct right now, I'm looking at FanDuel. He's minus 2,300 versus the rest of the NL field. But somehow, Shohei Ohtani, the two-time reigning MVP, if I'm correct, is still plus money in the National League. I mean, did somebody eat mushrooms before they made these lines or something? I don't even know what's going on.
Let me think of who might have eaten the mushrooms before this. Anyway, finishing the thought, if Freddie Freeman beats him on all the slash line numbers. Anyway, my point is this. It's early May. I love Shohei Ohtani. You're not going to paint me into a corner of acting like the guy that's anti-Ohtani like others are. I love the guy. But it's early. It's mid-May, and it's not so. Again, my theory
is.
I'm just going to finish. Jason, I'm just going to finish a sentence, okay? I am not going to sit here and say that a guy that might only pitch 60 or 70 innings, my theory is, and you can debate the theory, but I just like to get the theory out, which is if he only pitches 60 or 70 innings, then this might be the opportunity for voters to say, you know what? Jason's right. I'm going to have to give him the MVP every other year this happens, right? When he pitches, let's say he pitches full seasons from here on out, then there's no way. Then you're 100% right? Then there's no way anybody else besides your scenarios of an act of God or meteor hitting, whatever, there's no way they can't give it to Ohtani. But this might be their opportunity to use an excuse not to give it to him. That's my only point.
Sure, if we replace the BBWAA with the NBA voter pool and give Kendrick Perkins a vote in the MLB awards voting, maybe you'd be correct. But otherwise, I mean, the fact that Ohtani is still plus money is just absolutely bananas. It's like everyone's asleep at the wheel. And again, granted, he could get hurt. He could slump. Freddie Freeman could put up better numbers. Not that I think that's really an issue. But, I mean, I'm looking at this board, and I just see, like, Fernando Tatis is still second. Fernando Tatis, the steroid abuser with a bum shoulder, is second place to Shohei Ohtani. You know, like, what are we even doing here, people?
Not
like,
a Dodgers
come
fan.
On.
Not like, a Dodgers
I
fan.
I don't even understand what's going on.
Not a Dodgers fan, Jason Weingarten.
Didn't Ohtani strike out to a catcher last night?
Not. I just like watching Dodgers games, and I live in L.A., and I read the L.A. Times against my better judgment. So, you know, I'm always kind of reading the beat writer stuff. I have a pretty good idea what's going on with the team. I get to talk to people who work for them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of living in L.A.
By the way, not saying he won't win it. I'm just saying I don't think it's fait accompli like you are. Okay. Let's go to your plays today in Major League Baseball. What do you got?
The Dodgers, minus 281 versus the Angels, my least favorite team. Did you see the game last night? I did happen to catch most of the game last night in between going out and getting dinner. And we almost got in a crazy car accident last night, by the way. So everybody who wants me off air, you were this close to getting me off the air for good last night.
It's not funny, Jason. It was not funny.
It was close.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. I hope you're okay. I hope everybody in the car is okay.
Oh, yeah, we're fine. But, I mean, Fortunately, my fiance's reaction time was excellent. But otherwise, it was about to be turned into jelly.
Well, I'm glad you said fiance, because
he almost did
it. We had a little problem with that last time, as you know, right before we went on air, when Jason said his girlfriend and she shouted from the back, girlfriend.
I did lay a second big favorite today, by the way, not to stop with the Dodgers. I also laid the Giants. The A's kind of were victims of some gang violence in Los Angeles last night against the Dodgers, and will now be playing, I guess, the Giants tonight. Logan Webb, outside shot of the Cy Young, too. I think he's 10-1. I think he's going to make quick work of that A's lineup tonight.
I like the Giants tonight. I there's a bunch of first fives I like. I'm in Spanky's contest, so I play a lot of these. But I like the Giants first five run line-ish. If they can support. Logan Webb gets no run support, though, so it's always dicey in that situation.
Feels like that's been an issue in San Francisco for a while now.
Logan Webb and run support?
Just run support, period.
Well, Logan Webb specifically. But I'm with you on that one. I like the Padres first five run line. No surprise to people there. Cubs this morning. I think the wind is blowing out, but Orton is on the hill, so I think I like the Cubs a little bit. First five run line. The Rangers in there as well. The Nationals with Gore on the hill. So a bunch of possibilities today in Major League Baseball. Anything else?
Not much. You know, everyone always talks about the Dodgers and the Padres, but, you know, it's been like 2-3 years running now. I feel like the Giants don't get much respect in the National League West. I mean, they're always right there near the top. They're a playoff contender, but they're just not talked about the same, even though, you know, they're playing quite well every time I do catch them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know this. We kind of give the Giants some love on this show. We're big fans.
I've never heard Gil mention it.
Never heard of them.
They're the Dodgers' true rival, not the team down south.
That's true. That's true.
That's true.
That for sure. Jason, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And if you do, don't get caught.
Jason Weingarten, everybody. Words to live by. Nick Whalen on the NBA and more. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly, pardon me, from the pros, sharpplays.com. Check it out. I got emotional reading about it. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from y'all. This is from OPS Plus is for Commies. He says, Montreal restaurant necessity, joebeef.com. Everybody's giving you Montreal suggestions.
I like it. I just pulled it up. Joe Beef. I'm writing this one down. I will take all recommendations.
Norm in Vegas. Oh, this is the Montreal go-to. He says, no visit to Montreal is complete without a visit to Schwartz's Deli for a world-famous Montreal smoked meat sandwich. Similar to corned beef or pastrami, but smoking really makes for an incredible taste.
What is it? Schwartz Deli?
Schwartz's Deli. That's like the go-to.
Man, I got two written out already. Keep them coming.
Oh, Kevin Ryan was following up on the Rockies no money line thing. He said it's like offshore. It's like a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fred Courier, glad you're okay. To Jason, he says, glad you're okay. We all would miss your segment. Yeah, how about that, Jason saying, like, for all those of you who never want me on again, you came this close. You okay?
I got a legendary tweet that does not have you tagged on it.
Oh.
They wanted to separate.
Oh boy.
From Poke Therapy.
Oh man.
Poke Therapy.
What did he say? Can you read it on air?
Yeah.
What
let me say? Know when you come to Montreal. If you like sushi, let me know. I know a spot that's way better than Gill's.
That's great. Dell, Mind the Gap Radio. Weingarten's fiance must be an awesome person to put up with him. Jason H11, Kelly, here's some help before Samich comes on. The key is the word with, he says. When he says with, then we're moving to the next place. So 2 with 1, 2, 3, with 4, 5, 6, with 7, 8, 9 means 2 to win, 1, 2, or 3 second, 4, 5, or 6 third, and 7, 8, or 9 fourth. Any help? Kelly is not at all, anyway, less confused. Todd Hoyer, we need this Jason Weingarten on the Megapod with Wishnev to see Gil finally lose it. Oh, I would lose
what
my
was
mind.
It?
I think it's my mind.
I think it's two Fridays in a row. Jason's been coming in hot. I like it.
Hey, we do like this kind of Jason,
yeah,
though.
Something about Jason on a Friday.
Less smoke. Less cloud of smoke, if you know what I mean. Chance Copperpot, I'm sorry. I'm not telling anyone how much I lost on the live OKC spread last night. I'm emotionally invested in the curse of the zombie Sonics, so I just keep betting on OKC. Hashtag emotional hedge. Those Sonic fans, yeah, man, I hear you.
We'll go down together. Yeah, shout out to Chance Copperpot. I haven't gotten to the novel that you DM'd me yesterday about trying to bring the Sonics back. I'll get to it, though. Appreciate your support.
Sonics deserve a team. Sonics.
Oh, they really do.
I don't know if you know this. 1978 runner-ups to the Washington Bullets. 1979 NBA champions.
Those Gary Payton, Sean Kemp teams back in the day, like those are some of my favorite to watch ever.
Yeah, this
like
is...
as a kid.
This is more Gus Williams...
Yeah,
Dennis
a little
Johnson,
before my time, yeah.
As Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, used to say, the NBA was so slow back then that Gus Williams and DJ, and Gus Williams and downtown Freddie Brown, used to have a conversation walking the ball up the court. It's really true. They're like, yeah, so anyway, later after the game. Maybe. Nick Whalen joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He is not only now a RotoWire guy, but in case you missed it, he's co-host of VEASAN's Prop Points.
Check it out.
Also RotoWire senior analyst. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Whalen, but substitute the L with a 1. How you doing, Nick? What's happening, man?
I'm doing all right, guys. Doing all right. We got a nice like 83 degree Friday out here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Going to get some golf in this afternoon. Excited to talk a little NFL schedule, a little NBA with you guys. Good to be back.
Well, since you mentioned you're
he's getting choked up about Giannis, Nick.
As we all are about to go to Giannis. Since you mentioned you're in Milwaukee, how do you feel about this? Do you think he's as good as gone?
I don't think he's as good as gone because he is such a unique person and a unique player. You know, if you read the droplets of information coming out, you know, from sources around Milwaukee, you know, the prevailing sentiment, at least right now in mid-May, seems to be, yeah, there's a good chance he's gone. But look, don't be surprised if he does stick around because he is, you know, so uniquely loyal to this franchise. And I think the Bucks can at least sell Giannis on a multi-year plan to get back to contention. Can they get there next year? I don't know. But I will say the Jason Tatum injury does feel like it opens up the East a little bit more. I mean, best case scenario, we see Jason Tatum maybe come back at the very end of next season. Maybe he comes back for the playoffs. Boston has already talked about maybe needing to sell off some pieces with new ownership coming in. And look, there's not much Milwaukee can do with Damian Lillard also dealing with a torn Achilles. And on that similar schedule, to sell Giannis on this idea that, look, we could be the number one seed in the East next season. But they have ways to retool this roster. They have a little bit more flexibility than you would think. You know, they can at least now trade their 2031 first round pick. So if I were Giannis, I would want to get out of Milwaukee. I think we've kind of reached a point here where Bucks fans wouldn't blame him. It would be tough. It would be brutal. I'm sure some people would get on his case, but you know, it's almost Kevin Garnett in Minnesota, Damian Lillard in Portland. And the difference, of course, is that Giannis has delivered a title to this franchise. Like, he's accomplished what he set out to do.
Yeah.
So if Giannis does want to spend the rest of his prime in a better contending situation, I think most Bucks fans look at this roster, look at the moves they've made the last couple of years and say, yeah, I would kind of get it.
That's such the difference between Milwaukee sports fans and, say, Philly, Boston, or New York.
Completely.
Yeah, Nick, right. Nick is like, yeah, you know, you've done all you set out to do here. We're okay with it. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think the part that I find interesting about that is Nick, you think it's almost easier to forgive him leaving because he's won a championship. I feel like there's the, you know, we've won a championship with him. We've got to keep him. But yeah, I'm with you. He owes nothing more to that city. He's done everything he possibly can, and it's kind of sad to just watch at this point.
Yeah,
I love Giannis.
I mean, if you're an educated Bucks fan, you look at this roster and you're like, if I were Giannis, why would I want to play with Kyle Kuzma and whoever else you're bringing in to replace Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez next season when, you know, you could go to a much better situation? And look, I know we don't want to spend the whole segment talking Giannis, but realistically, you know, how many more prime years do you really have of Giannis? And I think if they do end up making a deal, this is going to be one of the biggest NBA trades in terms of the package you're receiving in NBA history, right? So it's not like the Bucks are just going to be the Washington Wizards for the next 5 years. Like, you're going to get a haul for Giannis Antetokounmpo if and when they trade him. And look, at some point you have to start planning for the future. So as you can tell, guys, I'm at least at peace with this possibility.
Yeah, you sound like you've worked through this. You've gone through the different stages. I understand. Yeah. All right, tonight, Knicks, 2.5-point favorites. Game 6, they try to close out the Celtics. Celtics try to force a game 7. What you got?
Guys, I have kind of emotionally attached myself to this Knicks team since my team went out early, and I would really like the Knicks to close this out. You know, the Bucks have had their share of horrors against this Celtics team in the past, and I think the big question is, can Boston summon that level of energy that we saw in Game 5 again? You know, that one could have gone either way, right? You could have either kind of wallowed in self-pity after the Jason Tatum injury, or you channel that and you put everything you have into that home game, and that's essentially the effort that we saw from Boston. I think it's going to be tough to replicate that on the road. So I think we get a very close game. I would be very surprised if this is a blowout one way or the other. I think it could play out, you know, similarly to those first two second halves that we saw in this series where, you know, even if Boston gets out to an early lead, the Knicks trim into it. They got the crowd behind them and they finish it out in the fourth quarter. Now, in terms of props that I'm looking at tonight, I'm going to go back to the well on Jaylen Brown. You know, that was one that we talked about yesterday on our show quite a bit. Both Brown and Derek White tend to be the biggest beneficiaries in terms of usage, in terms of their per 36 numbers with Jason Tatum off the court. And look, I don't know if we're going to see Porzingis tonight either. If we do, it's going to be very limited minutes. He's going to be on a short leash. He's been brutal. Obviously, he's under the weather still. Jaylen Brown, over 13.5 assists plus rebounds. He picks up about 4 assists and rebounds per 36 with no Tatum and Porzingis on the floor. Looking at Miles McBride, over 1.5 threes. You can get that at plus 165. Little bit of a stab here, but he's gone over in each of the last 2 games, 3 of the last 5. Pretty good price for a guy who tends to play with a lot of confidence at home. And then I'm going Mikal Bridges, guys, over 14.5 points. It's such a low number. You know, he's just been hot and cold, it feels like, every game in this series, but he is a much, much better scorer at home this season. Shoots the 3 in particular at about a 7 percentage point clip better at home than he does on the road.
That is why he's the co-host of Prop Points, Jeff Erickson, and he do the show each and every weekday here at the network, 2 to 3 Eastern. All right, before you go then, Nick, give me your biggest takeaway from the schedule release. Give me one Nick Whalen point that everybody should be focused on.
Okay, so I'll try my best to not just make this about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who once again have a brutal start to the season. I think the Detroit Lions schedule, guys, the Detroit Lions have a very, very difficult schedule. And I don't want to, you know, read too far into this. You know, I think sometimes it's easy to look at last year's records and just assume that all these teams are going to be the same. And obviously we know that's not the case. But you look through this first place schedule for Detroit, and I see only 2 games that I would say are easy wins, quote unquote. And this is a team, of course, that lost both coordinators. I think you have some questions about whether that offense can maintain that level. They play Cleveland and they play the New York Giants. Those are the 2 easy ones. I mean, you got to go to Green Bay in week 1. That Lions opened 1.5-point favorites. They are now dogs in that one. Chicago, Baltimore, Cincinnati, KC, Tampa Bay, all those teams in the first 7 weeks of the season. They go to your Washington Commanders, Gil. That's not going to be an easy game. They go to the Philadelphia Eagles the week after. Just something to keep an eye on for a Lions team that's been on cruise control these last couple of years.
I think it's a great point because I don't know that most people are focused on that. If you aggregate opponents' collective season win totals, I think the Lions come out to the 3rd hardest schedule in the league. The only 2 that are harder. Ready for this? Giants and Browns. Only two harder than the Lions when you go through that exercise.
Well, they got good teams, so it'll be okay.
No, they should be. Those other two teams should be fine. Nick, thank you. We'll check you out on Prop Points today, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. Nick Whalen, always great. At Whalen, once again, on Twitter. Substitute the number one for the letter L. Mike Somich, Preakness, Fezzik. Next, it's a numbers game right here at VSiN.